Pleased to welcome in District 42, Nebraska State Senator Mike Jacobson joining us for our weekly legislative update. Senator Jacobson, how was the Easter Sunday for you and the missus?
Outstanding. You know, there's something about Holy Week that is just so uplifting. You know, people look at Christmas, but I think Easter really is my favorite time of the year. You go through all the lead-in through Lent, Monday, Thursday, Good Friday services, and then culminate it with Easter morning, and just very uplifting. I feel great today.
I would echo that. I love Christmas, really do, but Easter is my go-to holiday, and the weather, too, definitely a factor for me also.
Yes, I would agree with that, and, you know, and our daughter Mary was home with her fiancé, and so we got to spend the weekend with them, and so it was a really fun, refreshing weekend, and really enjoyed it.
Refreshing seems to be the key word for you this morning, too, as I'm sure you're able to do some refreshing late last week after senators adjourned, was it Wednesday from the state capitol?
Correct, yeah. We recessed on Wednesday, and then I'll go back. We'll drive back tomorrow, and we'll wrap up then this coming Wednesday. And this will just be a pretty short day. Basically, it'll be any vetoes that the governor might have issued. The reason we take that break is it gives him time to review bills, veto anything he's going to veto. It gives the legislature one last opportunity to override those vetoes. So I don't know whether there will be any. The rest of the time will be spent with the outgoing senators giving their farewell speeches to the rest of the body. So it'll be a fun day, and then there'll be a sign-y-die party after that. And so, and then back to my day job.
Back to the grindstone. But you've still been working, too. I've seen the vehicle several times over at the bank burning the midnight oil, Mike.
That is true. I would tell you that I've really got an incredible staff, and I couldn't have done this without them. I was concerned originally whether or not I could take the time to do this. I'm really glad I did. I really am. This has been an incredible experience. I think I can really make a difference. I think I've begun to make a difference already. And so I'm really excited about it, and really looking forward to the rest of the year.
Senator Jacobson, before adjournment on Wednesday, Senator Anna Wishart had a presentation about Senator Groney, former Senator Groney, your predecessor, and the report that was conducted by an agency that was hired by the legislature. You received a copy of that report, as did all the state senators. Is that an item that you've had time to review and read?
She actually read the short version. I didn't bother reading the rest of it. I know there's still some investigations going on. It's something that you know, I've just tried to stay away from. It's just one of those things that happen, and I feel like that I'm going to let the people that that are involved in the process work that process through, and so I've just made it a point to not comment on it at all.
Yeah, and Senator Wishart did give a real good Reader's Digest, I felt like, of the report, and transparency has been very good, I feel like, from that legislative committee that Senator Hughes is the chair of.
That's correct, and I think that was probably the big redeeming thing there, is that Senator Hughes is chair of the exec committee, and I think the report, internal report, was primarily designed to really review the process of the legislature. Did they follow their rules? Did they do what they were supposed to be doing? And it basically signed off and said that they did, that they followed the right protocol. It's going to recommend some additional changes, which generally happens.
Sure.
I would expect that they will be tightening up more of the personnel policies as we go through that. I would tell you that when I was appointed, there were a number of things I had to review, and then one of them is a fairly in-depth sexual harassment policy, and you review that online. And of course, I've been in business a lot of years and been involved in a lot of organizations who all have their policies to review.
Sure.
This one by far is the most in-depth, the most explicit. I think they've got a good policy in place, but you know, it's like anything else, you have to follow it.
Now, Senator Jacobson, moving on to more of the legislative news from last week, I think one of the big issues that has some local importance and some importance that you'll understand as the former chair of the Airport Authority is Senator Bostar's proposal to receive some extra funding, potentially, with a ballot question regarding some airports throughout the state.
Yeah, and the other thing it does is it allows municipalities to get involved in helping fund it. A lot of that focus was really towards the Lincoln Municipal Airport to allow the city of Lincoln to get more involved. But as I read through the bill, I saw that it could also help all of the EAS airports out here as well. So that's going to be important. I I've got all the confidence in the world that the rest of the members of the airport authority that I left behind, they did an incredible job. I'll be the first to tell you that the work to bring SkyWest Airlines here was a joint effort, and everyone on the airport authority board was active in helping make that happen. I'm really glad we got SkyWest here. I still think there's a very good chance that we'll keep them. They are going to be required to stay through their contract, which would be the end of January. And hopefully by that time, this pilot shortage will ease up and they'll just continue to stay in place. But if not, we'll have to figure out how we may have to subsidize that further to keep a good airline here. But one thing we did prove with bringing SkyWest in is that we have the employments here. We have the capacity. There's a reason an airline should be here serving North Platte.
And moving on to a separate proposal, your colleague, Senator John Lowe, advancing through final reading, a matter that you're also very involved in with being on the hospital board here for Great Plains Health for a number of years and remaining on that as well as your appointment from the governor became official, allowing some rural increasing in a workforce with health care that remain strained as well, just like you mentioned with the pilots.
Yes, I think you have to look at all these problems really from a holistic standpoint. You know, when you start looking at why do we have a shortage of healthcare workers, and part of it is we don't have enough going into the field, and why aren't they going into the field? Well, part of that is some additional incentives to get them there. It also kind of comes back to what do we do along the way from a regulatory standpoint? In other words, there are some praxis exams that they have to take. And if you can't get into nursing right out of nursing school and you get held up, which happened through the pandemic because it was hard for them to get a lot of practical experience, we don't want them to find that they've got to take another job in the meantime and then maybe leave healthcare altogether when they've had this basic training. So there's a lot of pieces to this to come together to really provide sufficient healthcare workers. And of course, then you get into the nursing home issues. And I really studied quite a bit what's happened up in Mullen. And that situation was, I'm afraid, could be similar elsewhere. And so we've got to be able to do the things we need to do to provide additional provider reimbursements, which was done in one bill in the legislature this year. The other thing is I think we've got to, and again, it's holistic. We've got to, it's not just provider reimbursements. Some of it is regulations. You've got to have a full-time registered nurse on staff. Well, that's expensive, and there aren't very many of them around. Mm-hmm. So we need to start looking, I think, at telehealth and figuring out how we can do some of this with telehealth and still be able to provide the services that we need doing it that way. It would be both cheaper, and it eliminate the need to have to find a registered nurse on there 24/7. And then there, if you look at the inflationary costs that have occurred up in Mullen, they had a situation there where they've had $200,000 in increases over a year, over a 1 year period of time, just due to inflation in terms of cost of labor and cost of supplies. So you can see what's causing those problems, but it's going to have to be approached from several angles to be able to solve it.
Again, we're blessed to have District 42 Nebraska State Senator Mike Jacobson joining us for KODY's weekly legislative update here on Mugs in the Morning. Senator Jacobson, is there any other legislation from last week that you wanted to bring up this morning, sir?
Well, I want to bring up a couple things. I think one thing that's kind of important, I think, to North Platte is if you look at one of the things that came out in LB 1069, was a bill that Senator Williams had introduced early on. This had to do with workforce housing. As you know, we're starting to see significant increases in housing costs. You could only use workforce housing funds for homes that were going to retail for no more than $275,000. Unfortunately, that number's not high enough when you start looking at what our construction costs are today.
Sure.
That's been moved to $325,000. I would rather have seen that go to 350, but we got it to 325. So that will be helpful in terms of being able to utilize those funds. Along with that, when you go back and look at dollars that came from ARPA, part of the ARPA funds, and again, ARPA is those federal dollars, American Rescue Plan. It's that $1.04 billion that came from the federal government. If you recall, that was that bipartisan infrastructure plan, the $1 trillion plan. Well, Nebraska got $1.04 billion. Those dollars had to be spent and completely used up by 2026. There were very specific areas that it could be used for. It was all federal money, and it was really intended for one-time expenditures. So out of those funds, $75 million is going to community colleges across the state to be able to use for construction. So I'm expecting that Mid Plains will be able to get access some of those dollars. There's also $39.5 million going into workforce housing to help replenish that fund. And so hopefully that's also going to provide some more accessibility to solve our housing problem here. And then there's $4 million that went into child care. And what that particular, those dollars actually came out of the workforce housing. We worked with Senator Williams to transfer those dollars out into this child care program. As you know, I've been working here locally earlier with a group of daycare providers. We have a real problem in having sufficient daycare providers. Again, when we start looking at things holistically, if you have children at home, you don't have a daycare provider, guess what? You're not going into the workforce. Mm-hmm. If you have a place to send your children for daycare, you can enter the workforce. So if we want to solve workforce problems, we have to also solve the child care problems. So one way we do that is this $4 million would be used to help start up more daycare centers and to keep these daycare centers open. So I think those are dollars that I think are going to be also well spent. And they're one-time dollars from the federal government. It's not going to impact our budget going forward. And that was one of the things I was really concerned about, is that these are one-time dollars, that these are not dollars that are going to be having to be programmed in the future and impact our budget going forward. So those are pieces of how you try to solve problems that we're dealing with out here. I would also tell you that I've been very focused, and I think people heard loud and clear from me on the floor. I gave a number of geography lessons to a lot of my colleagues about where Western Nebraska is.
And getting back to your roots of teaching.
that's
correct. Your career comes full circle, Senator Jacobson.
Yes, it does. It's been amazing. You know, one of my concerns ever since we moved to North Platte here 27, 28 years ago is people just don't realize where we are, and we tend to have always gotten the short end of the stick. And my biggest focus going down there was that that's going to stop. Mm-hmm. We're going to get our fair share of dollars. We're going to get what we need out here. It's not going to stop at Kearney or Grand Island or Lincoln. We're bringing it on west, and it's time for North Platte. It's time for Gehring. It's time for our part of the state to get our share of federal dollars, state dollars, projects, so on.
Oh, it gives me goosebumps, Senator.
It's been a long time overdue, and I will tell you that all of my colleagues understand that I'm going to stand up for North Platte and the 42nd District. And when I say North Platte, I would say, I had somebody ask me before, you know, we've got the four counties, McPherson, Logan, Thomas, and Hooker counties to the north. What are you going to do for our county? And I said, I'll tell you what we're going to do is we're going to continue to, if we can grow a lot of jobs, even if they're in North Platte, it's going to provide that opportunity and those resources and those services. When you look at our hospital, we've got an incredible hospital that's filled with amazing physicians and professionals throughout and incredible nurses, I might add. And so we've got a great healthcare system here that serves our entire district and the entire region. When you start looking at what we're doing at the mall and the work that's going on there and what that will do for people to come to North Platte and have a place to shop, and not do it all online. Mm-hmm. And you go on down through, then you start looking at sustainable beef gets built. If the rail park once the rail park gets built, we're going to create more jobs.
Which received funding from the legislature, thanks to some help from you and some other senators down there as well, and of course from Governor Ricketts.
Well, that was a real dogfight, and sometime you can ask Gary Pearson about that, because we were going back and forth on the phone.
I've talked to him off the air about it a little bit. It'll be interesting to see how he can transfer that to radio-friendly terms.
Well, it wasn't a fist fight, but it came pretty close to that. I made it pretty clear to Grand Island and Fremont that we weren't given that was our money and we weren't giving it up. And they didn't hear me the first time, but I think they did the second time.
That was such bull. You might not be able to use that term, Senator, but I sure can. That was just that was a load of it, too.
Well, it was really amazing because this was North Platte's deal from the beginning.
Absolutely.
Gary did all the work up front. We started working on this when we met with a group from UP 3 years ago, and that's how long we've been working on it. And I literally had a lobbyist come up to me. I couldn't believe, I don't think he knew who I was, or must not have figured it out, because he said, well, you know, North Platte doesn't even have a project. And I said, I beg your pardon?
Are you kidding?
Yeah, and so I enlightened him in pretty no uncertain terms. All I had to do from there was just make sure they didn't have 25 votes to get any money moved. And once I knew we didn't have that, we quit negotiating.
Now, Senator Jacobson, moving on to other news here, this is very much newsworthy, and we've mentioned it with other candidates. We'll mention it as well. You have an official campaign event to introduce your candidacy for this seat full time that's going to be this evening.
Yes, it's been interesting. As you guys well know, I made the commitment to the governor and to the members, to the people in this district, that once I was appointed, my focus was going to be on making every vote, focusing totally on the legislative session, and that's what I've done. So I've not been out doing any fundraising, official fundraising. The dollars that have come in or dollars that flowed in, without even me commenting, they just kind of happened along the way. I've had a number of people that have wanted to get involved, and I said, look, let's let the legislative session get over or close to done, with Wednesday being what it is. So let's get through the legislative session. We'll schedule an event, and everybody can show up then, and they can be involved at that time. And so it'll be a large crowd tonight, and it's people that have been wanting to give to the campaign. And so it's really a combination rally fundraiser, and so that'll take care of the funding that I need going forward. And so I'm excited about it. Should be a big crowd. Should be a lot of fun. It's open to the public. Anybody wants to attend, they're welcome to come. But it'll be our first real big fundraising and rally.
Senator Jacobson, if anybody wants to get in contact with you to learn more about your campaign or to discuss anything as our current District 42 Senator, how can they do so, sir?
Well, if they want to get talk to me about legislative things, of course, my email address is mjacobson@leg.ne.gov, and it's M. Jacobson with an O. Kind of classic. It's confusing down there because there's a Mary Jacobson spelled with an E, who works for another senator down there as an aide. And so we've each gotten each other's emails along the way here because they put an E instead of an O when it goes to her. So
what a blessing. You've been able to make a new friend thanks to some technical errors.
Yeah, and it's been kind of funny. We've enjoyed it every time it's happened.
Senator Jacobson, appreciate the time. Look forward to seeing you again next Monday and this evening as well. And most importantly, safe travels tomorrow and best of luck on Wednesday.
Hey, thank you very much, Tristan.